podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening. This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Wednesday, the 19th of October, 2022. My name's Patrick Smith. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, and on Twitter. You can also, of course, download us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor FM, and a load more of your normal podcast providers. Stressful Sundays are back as the Giants have become to take a four-point weekend. On this week's show, we'll be talking about those games very, very shortly. Colby McCauley is our guest on the fan agenda. We'll have news from around the league, a couple of suspensions to talk about, and Todd Kelman of the Cardiff Devils, formerly of this parish, was long overdue a chat on this show. He said he's going to come along later in the evening and talk about Friday's game. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
I was not stressed at all on Sunday night. Never in doubt. The result, never in doubt. Even at 4-1 down, text half, never in doubt, mate. Never in doubt.
Good for you, mate. At least you were sticking, keeping the faith. Sometimes
I've
gets you.
I've seen the resilience of this team so far this season.
Yeah. I was okay. Good man. One man who I know is just cool as a cucumber and doesn't stress on Sundays for these games at all, Joel Neil.
No, I nice definitely... Thanks, Paddy. Thanks, mate. I definitely wasn't squealing the house down whenever that goal from Colby McCauley hit the bag. That was absolutely brilliant. Yeah, I'm sure we'll get on to talk about it, but that was good fun. But it's nice to be back with you. Missed you last week.
Yeah, how was your trip to the Palace last week?
It was all right. Was a lot of standing about. See, you think with the taxes you pay to that family, you get an old cup of tea or a scone or something. Not a drop. Not even a drink in the Palace. A joke?
You're joking me?
No, it was a nice day out. It's good to see and happy for the Isle boy getting his wee medal.
Who gave it to? Who gave him the medal?
It was Princess Anne, which not a big royal guy. I don't really know much about it or whatever, but she seems all right.
She seems dead on. A former Olympian, right. A sportswoman herself.
Big in their horses.
Big in their horses, indeed. Yes, so let's crack on with this show. The Belfast Giants took on the Coventry Blaze in two games over the weekend at home and away. Two very, very different games in their own special way. The Belfast Giants' first game was at home. Let me pull up the statistics here. And it was quite a comprehensive 7-0 victory for your Belfast Giants. Let's pull up the goals coming from Bast, Conway, Cooper, Lake, Soy, Conway again, and the captain on the power play, David Goodwin, scoring with about 90 seconds left in the game. With regards to goalkeepers, Jackson Whistle with a 21-shot shutout. Pavel Hossa, 49 shots against, 7 goals against. And your referees were David Good and Joel Sewell. A lot of new referees. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, you're used to the normal names. And, of course, the names over the last number of years have retired, have moved on, and there have to be new referees come in. So, you know, pleased to see some of the new ones. Joel Sewell and David Good are two ones that are new on me. Anyway, Davey, it's something I know what Joel said the other week as well, and more or less told the story of both games on Saturday and on Sunday. Sunday will come to a bit. When the Giants get hot, they just keep going.
Yeah, and as much as the Giants got hot and just kept going, they kind of scrambled the Blaze ever so slightly, and Blaze got really away from their process in the game and were able just to really put the foot in the throat. No goals, Paddy?
I'm just bringing them up now, mate.
Good lad.
So demanding. Patrick, the goals.
He's put a lot of effort into it.
He's to work in these conditions.
Yeah, so obviously the first 10 minutes of the game was probably quite even, actually. This was the first one of the first big chances of the game where the puck takes a funny old bounce off the dasher and Wiss has to dive back in and make that recovery save. And as much as I love to praise goaltenders, it's a bit like the Tyler Beskar-Owami one in the Continental Cup a number of years. He's got an awful lot of net to shoot at there, and he chooses the bit that the goalie's coming back into. So whilst it's a really, really good recovery and speed to get back around the front there, and yes, he's kept the puck out of net, I still think that he's probably looking back at that thinking, I maybe could have done a bit better there, and that perhaps changes the game, because they would have went in with the lead, but the Giants kept the foot down there, and once we got into the lead, and there was obviously the first goal coming from Gabe Bass, the 5,000th, Joel, I think you put in your match report that 5,000th of the Belfast Giants all time. So lovely play by Goody, and across the slot, and Bass coming in the back post. We'll talk about that going east to west, how many goals we scored over the weekend doing it. So really lovely. Then Conway obviously comes up with two absolute stunners, a lot of individual brilliance in them. And you know, the Giants just they went on a little splurge there for about 10 minutes where they were just untouchable. That's an absolute beauty finish there by Gabe Bass as well. But I just thought once we got that goal ahead, the second one really killed the game, because the Coventry players all of a sudden were out of a game that they were in for what, 15 minutes of it. And maybe at that stage, timeout maybe should be called. I think the guys in commentary, I think it was Wally and Cez on commentary, talked about, you know, Danny Stewart having that timeout, and he didn't take it, and the Giants went in that 4-5-0, and 5-0 day in the first period. First time we've had a sort of that kind of lead for several years now. The game was over as a competition, you know, and it, as it turned out, went on and won it handy enough.
Before I come on to you, Joel, one of the things said by formerly of this parish, inventor of this podcast, Aaron Kernan, I think, asked you about whether that was the highest score to nil the Belfast Giants have had. I don't think it is.
No, we've had, I think, 4 or 5 9-0s against Cardiff, or not Cardiff, sorry. Edinburgh Capitals, Hull Stingrays, yeah. Newcastle, Vipers. Several teams we've managed to knock 9 past without reply, but that was certainly one of the biggest, one of the biggest first period leads that I could find through my records. So the only sort of one that goal that we talk about, and we'll come on because there's a very similar incident on Sunday, Ben Lake's goal, where it's gone in off a skate, and they've had a wee quick video review and they've given it, and you know, we'll come on to Sunday nights, and I've got it in the highlights package for Sunday night as well. They do exactly the same, they go and review it on Sunday night and decide not to give it. So there's a little bit of, I'd love to know what the criteria is, because if anything, the Saturday goal should have been disallowed and the Sunday goal should have been given, in my opinion. So that'll be one to have a look at when the highlights come further.
Yeah. Joel, obviously, you know, the talk is of the 7 goals, but the defensive, they do go to nil as well. Defensively, be that sound and shut them out is equally as impressive.
Yeah, very telling from Adam Keefe in post-game that you know, you come in after a 7-0 win over the Coventry Blaze. And, you know, the caveat to that as well, Paddy, is a team that was fairly hot in terms of their start to the season. They came into the SSE, and we call it the Odyssey there, how many years now? They came into the SSE on Saturday there with, I think it was 1 regulation loss in 7 in the league, and they have, I've got the Challenge Cup table in front of me, 3 wins out of 5 in the cup. Like, for a Coventry Blaze start, we haven't seen that kind of form from them since Theo Fleury or older, you know, back when they were league contenders. So they felt like a bit of a wagon coming in, and I was expecting a battle. I thought, honestly, we would have one of our toughest domestic tests so far. But they were hit in the face with a team who have been playing a lot of games at a higher level, and I don't think that they domestically have faced anything like that so far. But very telling from Adam Keefe that he talks about the defensive side of the puck, because last week in a fairly frosty post-game interview, after that Guildford loss, he talked about, well, look, if you're not going to be putting the puck in the net, you need to be doing the defensive things right. But my goodness, I was expecting some form of a response after that, what was a disappointing loss from a fairly decent Guildford team. But my goodness, that first period, they were just absolutely dismantled. I thought it was interesting that 2 goals in quick succession and a lot of the Giants' shots, I could be wrong, this is the layman watching without any stats to back it up, but they seem to be going blocker side an awful lot. And again, it shows me that they're doing their homework on these new goalies, and they're taking a look at teams that they maybe haven't played before. I think it was Cons and then Coop, or maybe the other way around, scored blocker side in quick succession. And a lot of that firepower seemed to be coming from that left circle and seemed to have a lot of success. But that was a dead game after 1. Just on Davey's point as well, interesting one. I think I remember Ed on the Coventry Blaze podcast.
Yes, it is.
Talking about the double IHF rulebook was updated recently about contact off skate going into a net as well. You know, there can be deflection, but as long as there's not a kick in motion. I thought it was really funny that you did, honestly. You got the goal that was, I mean, frankly, booted in. It was quite a finish. I'd take that down Inver Park any Saturday. And then the next night on a Sunday, one that probably should have been given. It was interesting to see those calls and those interpretations.
Go on, Davey.
Whilst I agree that I think the goal, Bendix's goal, should possibly have been disallowed, he's reaching for the puck rather than like the distinct kick of motion where he's booted it in. He's certainly extended the knee to get the foot to knock the puck in. Whereas Goody on Sunday night has just turned the skates, which to me is quite legal. You know, there's no kick of motion at all for me on Sunday night. He's almost stopping up and just redirecting. It's actually a really high skill play. And, you know, I could have absolutely accepted Ben Lake's goal being washed out on the Saturday night because, the interpretation there is more grey because he's reaching for the puck with the leg rather than, you know, standing still and just maybe turning a foot and redirecting the puck. He's actually brought his leg to the puck. So it's interpretation. That's where you need to ring Toronto and go, lads, you know. Here's two identical goals and as much as they've gone in off a skate. What is the criteria for giving stroke washing out? So, you know, that's a great way event there too. Clements didn't want
it. I was going to say, Davey, so what's your take then? Clements obviously wanted something but then didn't want something. It seemed quite strange.
Just a couple of minutes to go in the game, 6-0 down. What's the point in getting a dig and a bait, really?
Do you know what? Looking back on it, that's a very fair point. That's a smart hockey
I
man
think,
there.
To be honest, I think whenever Macaulay then he sort of shook his head and he looked up at the scoreboard and he sort of shook his head again and then he went over and sort of hugged Ben Lake going, hold on to me here, your mate's cracking up. keep me away from him quickly. So, you know.
Keep me busy, mate.
Something to bring up later on, I think. Something to look,
we talked about this as well. You know, fighting in the last few minutes of a game can be very sketchy in terms of suspensions thrown out if there's any instigation at all and this kind of thing. There's a game less than 24 hours later that you want to play in, so, you know, better just keep your powder dry and I'll see you in Coventry tomorrow night.
It was a funny optic, though. It was very funny.
Well, it's, and if anything, it gets the crowd going. It gets, you know, it draws the pantomime villain for a bit. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, Clements, who arguably is the player that, well, we know we talk about Ben Lake, but Clements is the guy that scored the actual game winning goal against Cardiff when we won the league last. He gave him a bit of. Sorry?
Sorry, before you move on to that next game. Just on that point, an unnamed BBC journalist who has been about the arena for quite a long time wandered past me at 5-0 up in the first period, and he sort of paused and looked around. He was like, you know, I remember a day when a team gets their doors blown off in the first period like that and there's gloves dropping all over the ice. But we are in a different game these days, chaps. There was not even a hint of it until that third period.
We showed a video a couple of weeks ago on the sad passing of Andre Pyatt and a game where we were actually running away with it. And It was punch up silly. And that's, you're right. And unknown journalist with initials NR probably, but an unknown journalist is absolutely correct. And it's a totally different game. But we've talked about the physical and that aspect of the game maybe not being part of it anymore, Davey.
Yeah, it's a difficult one because I really love the physical side of the game, and nothing gets people on their feet like a fight. And you know, people still find out that I'm involved in ice hockey and they're asking, do they still fight? Is there still, you know, hockey between the fights? And it's like, yeah, there is. There's just not as much fighting anymore because I look at the numbers. I don't think, have we had a
fight? What was our last fight, Major?
Rainer?
There was one, yeah, obviously quite earlier in the season. And they're the ones that bug me because they come from actually just a good hit. Saturday night was the perfect example there for the Coventry players saying, you've to come back to us tomorrow night. You've blown us out 5-0. Yep. Ringer's absolutely right. Let's set a...
Don't call him Ringer.
I get, you know... No, I'm only joking. 5-0 down. I would be looking to get the first use of the water there, you know, right? Just, I'll get in the dig here. Game's over. Get an early shower. You know, it's...
But which used to happen.
Yeah, the game has changed.
Used to be part of the game.
There's no doubt about that. And would you, like, who are we to say that people should go be out boxing for their job? You know,
the other side of it as well is something that I think I had a discussion with my brother Jarlath with, or is the fact that once the scores start to run up like that, you know, teams do take their foot off the gas out of respect. Really, it's the fact that, you know, this game's done, we're in the third period, we're rattling up the score here. You know, is there a level where you agree that we should just, like, stop scoring?
There's rules, isn't it?
Yeah, there's two ways of looking at that. I think if you're the away team and you're running a score up, you shouldn't run a score up in an away barn. If you're at home and you've got fans there and you want to score, go back to when Theo Fleury played us and we were absolutely humping someone. Can't remember. I'm going to say probably the Edinburgh Capitals, and somebody came in during the period break and said, "Right, guys, it's 6-0. Let's take the, you know, just take the foot off here a wee bit. There's no point in bar." And Theo, I am led to believe, said something like, "Let's try and score 100. You know, what are you talking about? You know, and give it what for? We've got our fans have all paid good money to be in here, and we're in a position to you know, entertain them. Let's go and do it." It's a funny old one, because I don't agree with running scores up in football. There's been a few teams have done it against us. There's been a few teams have done it against, and I don't like it. But, you know, if you get the chance to get somebody a goal, if you get the chance to get somebody assist, that maybe hasn't been, and that very rarely happens anyway. But then we did take the foot off the gas, especially when you know you've got a game coming the following night. It's natural to start thinking about that game at 5-0. I almost think we started thinking about, you know, let's conserve, let's keep the puck, let's, you know, keep possession, let's make them run around, tire them out anymore, if anything. And then, you know, we'll come up with a couple of goals and towards the end, one at the very start of the third period, one towards the end, which gave me the overs, which was absolutely great.
I'm smiling here and I'm trying not to laugh, because the only thing that's popping into my head, Davey, is Adam Cree going into nets at the Metro Radio Arena, and you near taking the door off the hinges. We'd run the score up so much that you're just like, poof, I'm out of here, see you later.
Yeah, it wasn't one of my
wouldn't be like you.
I wasn't allowed back in, Joel.
Nearly
took a doors off MRSA.
And that was the night I had my own encounter with one of our own fans.
Rachel Marks or whatever.
Pull up a sandbag, boys.
What days? Anyway, listen, let's move on to the game.
I paid a fortune to be there. I mean, taking time off work, flew there with Dr. Love and Big Header. But we sat out in the Concord. You know, that when you go out of the rink there.
Downstairs.
The eating, drinking place. We just sat there.
Yes.
Had the froth off some Heinekens and accepted our defeat.
Graciously.
Right. Let's move on to Sunday. The highlights from the game, as you saw, they're available from our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. And we move on to Sunday's game, which was a bit of a different event. It was a 5-4 win for your Belfast Giants, but not without its own issues. Coverley Blaze took a very early lead in 30 seconds through Franti. Giants made it 1-1 through Cooper. And then Curran, Venus and Cook on the power play made it 4-1 in the second period. Longer scored one with 10 seconds left in the second period to make it 4-2. And there was a real fight in our hands. And then Chad Butcher, David Goodwin, and then with just under 3 minutes to go, Kobe McCauley, our guest tonight, made it 5-4. With regards to the goalkeepers, there was a change for the Belfast Giants. Jones started the game, 10 shots against, 3 goals against, but it only lasted to the end of the first period. Jackson Whistle came in the second, lasted 40 minutes, the remaining 40 minutes, 21 shots against, 1 goal against, and Hulsa in the opposition net, 43 shots against, 5 goals against. Matt Rose and Andrew Jarvey were your two referees. Joel, a slow start for the Giants.
Yeah, I opened that game report by saying if Danny Stewart was looking for a response after last night, he certainly got it. You know, Franti mopping up that loose puck in front of Peyton Jones and running up that kind of 3-1 score in the first period. It's not unexpected after a team get wounded like that the night before. I was definitely expecting a very different game. I don't know what I was expecting, if I was expecting just the comeback from 4-1. You know, you go into a fairly quiet first period after the Blaze kind of run up to 2-1. I think the most critical moment in that game was Kieran Long finding that goal to pull it to 4-2 at the end of the second period. That changes the makeup of the game entirely. Are you smiling because I'm pumping Kieran Long's tires again? But yeah, I mean, you put those that entire weekend in the context. You know, you're looking for, you know, at this point in the season, the early stages, we're still too early to really look at the table in any sort of real depth. But you're looking for the genetic makeup of a championship contender. And what you want to see is a team that can go out on any given night at home and absolutely dominate a team that you thought were going to be good. And then you need to see a team that has to travel the next day, face the same team again. It was fairly physical, fairly kind of needly, and there was a lot of hangovers from that game before. But you saw there a team, as they did last season on stressful Sundays, going on the road, finding themselves in one and finding a way to dig themselves out of it. And it almost felt, as you crept towards the end of that game, whenever Goody made it 4-4, you almost felt like that winner was coming, because it's what we spent our weekends watching last year. But if you take that this weekend as a whole, I think we saw a lot of the ingredients there that make up a team that's going to challenge once again for silverware.
It's, David, there are two main things in this game. Obviously, the change of goalkeeper was one. And then I think the goal from Longer at the end of the second period are two key moments for the Giants that maybe changed the way that they played and changed the atmosphere of this game.
Yeah, we also had that. We talked about the fine margins that in the first period at 0-0 in the Odyssey on Saturday night. You've got that one that rings the stanchion, comes out in front, and the shot goes, and Wiss is able to come around and get it. And you've got exactly the same goal in Coventry, where it rings around the stanchion, comes out in front, and Goody's just there to tuck it home. So, you know, it's those little fine margins that sometimes go for you, go against you. But I didn't. That's a really well timed goal for us. The there was goals scored right at the end of the period, and I don't particularly think Peyton Jones has pulled for anything he particularly done. First goal, don't think there's anything really much he can do. It's a shot that's came in. It's either blocked by the D-man or the forward in front, and it just drops down in the crease, and somebody sticks down on it quicker than anybody else can get there. Second one, we faff about in front of goal, and it would make a terrible giveaway with opportunities, maybe two or three opportunities to get that puck down into their zone towards the end of the period and get it clear, and we don't do it, and we give it away, and bang, it's in the back of net. And even the third goal, I don't think particularly was Peyton Jones's fault. So I think that's almost a reaction from the coach to say everybody needs to step their game up. You know, defense, we talked about defense coming from the forwards as well, and, you know, getting back in, D-men needing to be better, forwards needing to go with their assignments, and we give easy goals away. But, you know, credit to the boys for trucking back into it. And that I think once we started getting that momentum going our way, the ice really tilted. And then at 4-each, it actually started to settle down in a bit of a game. And it could have went either way. Actually, the Coventry players could have scored just before we broke away and came up with the game-winning goal. But look, these things go for you. A bit of character there. We've had a few games this season in the Challenge Cup at home as well, where we were taking the overtime, where we had to show a bit of guts to stay in the game. And this team has guts and spades. And that top line of Goody, Coops, and Collins going with Bast and Roop in the back. I think on Saturday night that line had something like 25, 26 shots between it. You know, they are just offensively so, so gifted, and, you know, and haven't been scored on that much either. It's a couple of the other lines more worryingly are taking the brunt of the goals against. But there's that goal there where it comes off the stance and just pops out, and fortunately for Olsen and Goody giving it the old.
I love that Sally. Yeah.
You see a better angle on here.
That one's just good.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good goal. So, yeah, I suppose that's what he is saying. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Now. And, yeah. So, yeah, I think it was a good, it was a really good character comeback.
It's, you know, Joe, we said at the start of the show, or sorry, the start of this analysis of these games, is when the Giants get hot, at the minute they do get hot, and it's tough to stop that train when they get that confidence.
It's the ingredients that make up a team that are going to contend for championships. Two very, very different narratives in two very, very different games, but we find a way to dig ourselves out of a hole on Sunday. I'm seeing, and again, we're very early in the season. I'm not even looking at the table at the minute. It's still far too early. The disparity between games is still far too wide, but this still feels like watching last year's team, I think, is what I'm trying to get at. I still, like, despite quite a high player turnover, we did retain a core of extremely talented players, but quite a high player turnover and losing such linchpins as Tyler Bescarwani. There's obviously a bit of chopping and changing in terms of goalies and whatever else, but I feel like we're still very much on the rails that we were on last season. I'm dying to see us against Cardiff, against Sheffield, and teams that are going to be thereabouts. But this was our sternest test domestically so far. I thought that we were going to struggle a lot more at home than we did, and we find a way to dig ourselves out on the road. That's all you can ask for.
What does Danny Stewart take from that, Davey?
Probably do the old, was it, I can't remember now whether it was, who was the coach at the time? And I can't remember whether you said it to him or he said it to you. After a loss to the Edinburgh Capitals, you just threw the puck in the bin on that one.
It was Rob, Rob Wilson.
Well, so you throw the puck in the bin and you move on to the next day. Saturday night, there's nothing really positive you can take from Saturday night in the Odyssey at all. You know, it's just you've been beat 7-0. There's not enough. Coaches will always try and find a positive, and often will find something that was good. But in terms of going away from home, getting beat 7-0, it was just a reset. And he probably had a lot of honest words on the coach. I don't know whether it flew back or whether they got the coach on Saturday night, but there was probably a lot of honest words spoken in that locker room after the game. To see the reaction they got in the first couple of minutes of their home game, and you know where you're going to be performing in front of your own fans here, you need to step it up, lads. So in terms of that, he'll take a lot of positives out of their reaction. But ultimately, they've came away with no points from two games, you know, this weekend. And as Joel said, they came in with not an air of contendership about them, but a team that have been talked about in the first number of weeks of the season is, you know, are the Coventry Blaze the real deal this year? And, you know, I've had that message myself. And on those performances, you know, no. At times they've shown what they're capable of. They concede goals in bunches, which is a mentality thing as well. You know, you have to be stronger. You have to put a goal behind you. You see the really good goaltenders, the Stephen Murphys of this world, when they conceded a goal, it was as if they were playing in practice. It didn't matter to them. They just reset and went from the next face-off, where we scored at least two goals at the weekend where we scored and went from the next face-off, scored on the next play. Scored in the next shift. So that's a bit of mentality from Coventry Blaze that Danny Stewart, to answer your question, will want to stamp out. But, you know, a bit of a nod to Wes. I know we said about Peyton, and I said I didn't think that particularly any of the three goals in that first period on Sunday were down to him. The first one again said, you know, block in front, second, the defensive giveaway. I can't really remember the third one. But Jackson Whistle, five periods of hockey, only conceded one goal. So nod to him. We came under pressure at 4-8 towards the end of that Coventry game, where they were really trying to push for that home win. And Jackson came up with a couple of really big saves and a couple of nice plays and kept us in that game. So good to have two goalies going at the moment.
We talk a lot, and I like asking Adam Keefe about it as well, about that kind of three goalie system and how critical it is these days for the number of games you play domestically and European competition in order to be a contender. I think it might be an easy takeaway for the casual fan to look at that and go, oh, there's Peyton Jones on the bleep list. You know, that must be really embarrassing, whatever else. It's not necessarily the way. No. And David, you said it again there. A goalie being pulled sometimes isn't solely the goalie's fault. We saw this reversed earlier in the season whenever Jackson Whistle was yanked after a terrible first defensive period. And Kiefer said in his post-game that it was to make a change and to send out the message that everybody needs to pull their socks up and get on with it here. And whenever Peyton Jones came in, he then steadied the ship and the Giants won the game. So you saw the reverse of it there. These are big boys. You know, they play professional hockey. They can take it. And I think that we are in a privileged position to be able to have a team working in tandem like that. It doesn't necessarily mean he's just been humiliated in front of everyone.
You're absolutely right. Well, let's move on to highlights from that game. 4-point weekend for your Belfast Giants, who's fantastic in the league. A good bounce back from what happened last weekend, but you get the highlights from that game from our good friends at Blaze TV. Good to see Ed and Stu back behind the mic. Always enjoy listening to their commentary.
Like them.
And top notch from them. And we move on to the fan agenda brought to you by our good friends at Belfast Giants TV, the league leaders in that sort of coverage. I know it's out of my breath, but we're delighted to be joined now by the man who broke tens of hearts in that arena on Sunday night. And that is, of course, number 29 for your Belfast Giants, Kobe McCauley. How are you doing, mate?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Not too bad. So, you know, talk us through that winning goal.
I don't know. I just kind of found a soft spot, and it was on the power play at the end of it, I think. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think it blocked out, just ripped it on net. And it went in. So, yeah, no.
Let the natural talent take over and just hit the back of the net, man.
Hit the net at least.
What's your take on how the weekend went? Obviously, you know, it was one-way traffic on Saturday and a much more of a battle on Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday we obviously took it to them, but when we went there on Sunday, kind of didn't come out as strong as we did on Saturday, but we obviously found a way to come back. And I mean, that's what Kiefer was preaching. If we want to be a championship team, we better figure it out after the second period, first period at least, too. And we did. So the boys stuck with it, and it's good that everyone came together.
Yeah, Colby, we were just talking there. I don't know if you heard the tail end of it. We're talking about Peyton, obviously, you know, coming out of nets at the end of the first period, and that's not necessarily down to Peyton having a particularly bad first period. There was a few bad defensive plays, and you know, maybe the team defense in front of him wasn't as strong. Is that, you know, is that more or less the case, Kiefer?
Yeah,
that change to make the team stand up.
We left him out to dry on Sunday. So, I mean, there's so much a goalie can do, and we didn't obviously help him out at all. So, it's obviously a decision from the coach that, you know, to pull him, and we just knew that we had to do something to figure it out. So, nothing against Jonesy at all, but it's more of us not playing good D and letting goals go. You can't stop everyone, right? So
yeah, let's have a wee quick chat about the Northern Ireland connection. Obviously, I think it was last weekend, a few family members down from in and around the place, and coming up with a goal as well.
Yeah, well, my brother-in-law and my sister, they're on their honeymoon in Italy, so they popped on over after for the one game, and I got a bunch of family here too, so that live in Ballyclare and just outskirts.
Come on, man. Don't say that word, Dale Larn boy. No, listen, respect. I'll let it fly.
Yeah, no, so I
that's kind of you, man.
I just met them, a lot of them. So just family along the line. So they come to quite a few games now, and yeah, it's good crack.
Is that family you knew you had?
Or yeah,
is this just so something that Winston's coming over?
No, so they've been here. My grandpa was born over here, so just down those lines. And yeah, they have no idea what hockey was until I came over here.
we will have to get involved. So last year, it turns out Coops has a lot of family in the Ballymena area as well, and we were able to do a bit of family tree work with him and came up with some absolute gold. So maybe have a chat with Kitchy and yourself later on in the season about having a wee look in more depth into that.
Yeah, we should. We should definitely dig some, see what's going on over here.
You'd be careful how deep you dig, man. You just never know what you're going to find right here. I mean,
especially around here.
That's what we're saying.
If I dig deep enough, I'm probably related to Davey. Like, definitely not Paddy, but that's.
I'm not related to Davey.
By the way, I didn't mean that. A lot of good folks in Ballyclare. Good evening to everybody.
Don't have internet. Don't worry.
I didn't say that. Colby, just another big moment from the weekend. I really enjoyed the confrontation you had with David Clements in the third period at home there. You were obviously having a little shaky gloves at him, offering him a chance to exchange your opinions there in the last few minutes. He obviously thought better of it, but you know, in the moment, you're probably looking for him to go and you're calling him a chicken and whatever else, but after the fact, are you seeing that he's probably looking at the clock there going, yeah, it's not worth taking a beating and being suspended tomorrow?
Yeah, I guess, like you said, he didn't want to get a beating, but there was a little bit of confrontation beforehand when I made that hit along the bent side, but
yeah,
never did anything there, and then I said, if you want to do it, we can do it. And that's when I dropped my glove. And
he didn't want to do it.
scared. I don't know what happened there.
That is a guy who's not usually too afraid of confrontation for being one of our Brits kind of over here. And for people who maybe aren't as aware of your career, I have the privilege of writing your press release whenever you signed for the team, and I went into your career a little bit. But you've got 330 penalty minutes across 5 seasons in the ECHL. So that physical side of the game is certainly not new to you.
No, it's definitely not. I've dropped a glove here and there, but
that's a really good way of putting it. Do you think that the game's changing though? You have that aspect of your game, but we were talking earlier in the show about, you know, the Coventry Blades had their doors blown off in that first period. They were 5 zip down, and in the olden days, it feels like the kind of game whenever something would have popped off there.
Yeah, for sure. The game's changing all the time, every year. As you can tell, back in the day, it'd be a different story, but even when I was in junior too, it'd be a different story. But
yeah,
ever since now, like, it has changed quite a bit. And I mean, there's obviously some guys here and there that'll go, but even for myself, it's not an occasional thing anymore. But when there is a time to do it, I'm definitely down to do it.
A lot of these quotes are going to be on flags in the corner in like a week.
It's interesting you say, you know, every year it changes, you know, and there is that sort of evolution of it out of the game. Do you think the fans are evolving with that, or do you think there's still a hankering for it just to go back? Because, you know, obviously, you know, we come from myself and Davey come from an era back in like the 90s and 2000s where it was a hell of a lot more common, and we're coming into a time where we're having to evolve and see it, but we still hanker back for the days of, you know, Paxton Schulte here in Belfast, and you know, Mike Ware, and all the, you know, all the big units that used to go toe to toe, and enforcers that acted like enforcers. But the game is different, and I'm wondering if, you know, you feel it on the ice, obviously, but whether you think that the likes of the fans are coming along for the ride in that way?
I don't know so much on the fans. I think the fans always will love a good scrap. But it's tough to say. I still continue to play the game like I did back in the day. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll usually ever leave. I mean, it's a love hate. You love doing it, but you hate getting hit. But
not unless they actually go right ban it, and then you've got real problems. Because
there was
tried to, like, we've talked about instigator rules, Davey, and things like that, and how that's sort of trying to evolve it out of the game, I suppose. But anyway, let's have a quick look at some of the questions we asked people on Twitter, and stuff to send us your questions for Kobe McCauley. I'll start with Tams, who says, what's your favorite Boston pizza location in Edmonton?
not a specific question at all.
Clearview. Not specific.
One word answer. I hope Tams appreciated that inside joke.
She'll know what Clearview is.
Teal Trooper, have any teammates clued you up on what they expect from teams like the Devils, the Panthers, and Steelers yet?
The opposing teams?
Yeah, dude, just sort of, is there still sort of chat as to, you know, we've played these guys, but where do you go here, or where do you go there?
You mean playing wise or for myself?
Yes. Whether like Coops or any of the guys who have had experience in this league are sort of teeing you up for games, you know, to give you sort of an insight as to what
there's obviously always insight with talking the room and things like that, but I mean, doesn't matter what rink it is, you got to be ready and know what kind of fans are in that kind of arena, especially in Wales. Cardiff's a little bit of a battle. It's like a battle Alberta, you know.
We've got one from Ruth McCauley saying, does the noise in the arena make a difference to you guys? Like the cheering, the singing, the drums? Does it actually help? Do you feed off it?
Oh, yeah, big time. When there's fans buzzing in the rink, it makes us buzz even more, so... I mean, this is my first year over here and hearing drums and chants all game long. Yeah, I feed off that for myself, and I know the boys do too.
And one more we have one from Dahi saying that he hopes he didn't cause you too much damage at the golf last night.
Yeah, you kind of speed bagged me yesterday at golf.
We just on the golf thing, can we just talk about this? And I think this is Scott Conway.
Yeah, this is Con's absolutely muffing it. Listen, you think that Scott Conway is a sharpshooter, but way to completely buckle, fold like a deck chair under pressure.
Unbelievable, look at that.
Oh, buddy.
He was man. Going in the entire way.
Again in super slow motion. Oh.
I mean, that's brutal. That's absolutely he's just overcooked that. I mean...
Is there cling film over the top of that hole? What happened there? Unbelievable.
That's not a gimme either. I want to see that. I want to see them in. You want to see them potted too. You don't give them.
You want to see that finished. How was the event last night, Colby?
It was good. Yeah, it was good. You know, get out and see fans and do something fun. You know, something different. And it was good. It was fun.
No, I've nothing, Paddy. your question there.
Can I jump in?
Go on, man.
You're one of the people. This is another thing that fascinates me. I find the hockey world really interesting in just that it's global, but it's very, very small, and a lot of people encounter each other. And it's so strange how you can be, you know, thousands of miles away across the ocean and be with guys that you've shared locker rooms in back in North America. And you're one of the guys that came in. Yourself, Steve Ory, Chad Butcher, and Sam Ruop all played in the Coast with the Allen Americans, and I think you've been with Ory and Butcher and other clubs as well. Is it not strange to end up in Belfast, Northern Ireland, having shared rooms with these guys? You know, suddenly you're back together again on the other side of the world. But what's that experience like to have old buddies over here?
Yeah, it's well, one, it makes it a lot easier coming over here.
Yeah.
Two, it's like you said, the hockey world's so small. And, you know, me and Sammy played together back in junior in Prince George. And then 5 years down the road, he signs his first contract in Allen in Texas. And I was like, wow, we both said to each other, this is crazy how we're back together and, you know, doing the things we were doing back in PG. And now we're here across the pond.
Yeah,
and especially with Butcher and Auri, we played together for a couple of years, but it's awesome. We love it. We all agreed to come here and, you know, do a job. So it's obviously great having them here, and we enjoy it a lot.
Two games on the road this weekend. Obviously Friday against the Cardiff Devils, Saturday away to Guildford, a place you haven't been yet, but obviously they're the only team domestically to take points of us so far. How's the prep going for the weekend?
It's good. Had a good practice today and another good practice tomorrow before we head on Friday, and we all know what the job is, so we just got to be mentally prepared and can't take these guys lightly. We're both good teams, so yeah, there's not much to it except for kick ass, I guess.
That's a good way to put it. Colby, listen, we really appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend, and thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you later.
All right, yeah. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
We weren't dancing in the background. Big thanks to thanks to Colby McCauley for joining us on the Fan Agenda, and thanks to everybody who sent in questions. We're just over a month to the Friendship Four. Get your tickets for that. Time to crack on this weekend. The Belfast Giants make the first, I suppose, in season trip over to Cardiff. And who else are we going to invite on to this show? A man we haven't actually spoken to in the show in quite a while. And it's
here we go now. It's about the
show of the Cardiff Devils, but of course the retired number 44 for your Belfast Giants, Mr. Todd Kelman. How are you?
Wow. What's up, guys?
He's back.
Look at that jersey in the background of Paddy's place. Wilkie. Hey. Just going back to year one. Is that the only jersey?
If you look very closely, you can still see they still see the signature. It's nearly washed out, but it's still there.
Where's your Kelman jersey, Patrick?
I never have a Todd Kelman jersey.
He burnt that. Jesus.
The day he went.
Gone. We're done.
You three are the only guys I think wouldn't have burned it, but I think even Patty burned them. So,
I said, obviously, we'll talk about the game on Friday and stuff like that. But over the last year or so, it's been interesting for the Cardiff Devils. Obviously, towards the end of last season, you got rid of your coach and scout, and you put Brodie Dupont in charge, and you kept him on for this season. He picked up the playoffs in that time, and you know, was that obviously that was enough to install him permanently?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I said, look, you know, when I got rid of Scaldi, I didn't really consult anyone about it. I just kind of knew it was the right decision. And sorry, I'm trying to fix this little flick of hair that's stuck up there.
Great, Pat. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I do it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm being honest, it just wasn't a good fit with Scaldi. And, you know, guys, I'm a big guy in culture, and it just wasn't working. And I probably let it go a little too long because I'm not one that likes to get rid of guys. But I just thought that we weren't going to win with him behind the bench. And I think people were shocked at it, but I don't think anyone in our locker room was. And with DuPont coming in, we basically said, like, look, like I did it at 5 o'clock on a Friday. I called DuPont at 5:05 and I didn't really have a plan. I was just like, hey, if you want to, I mean, it's yours if you want it right now. And it was going to be him and Franny. One of the other was going to take And he's like, nope, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Let's have a team meeting. And he just took over from that moment. He was a head coach. He's kind of been in the background waiting to be a head coach for a long time. Like he's done his prep and stuff. But, and then it was like it was honestly like, you never know. You win the playoffs, we'll give you the job probably. And that's literally, I couldn't really make, hire someone else after that. The guys wanted him as their head coach. The guys that wanted to come back all said they wanted DuPont. And I really like him as a person and as a coach. He's not like a rookie head coach to me. You know, Kiefer just kind of switched from being a player to being a coach. He just like, it's like he'd never been a player. He was just a coach right away, like instant respect, instantly knew what he was doing. And I think that's how DuPont is. And, you know, like you'll learn a little bit, you know, like Kiefer's obviously gets better every year. And I think DuPont will as well, but he's cut from that same mold that I really like, you know, the Andrew Lord style, Adam Keefe style coach, you know?
I think that's the point I was just about to make was the fact that you have these coaches who are successful, like Lordo in Cardiff, like Kiefer in Belfast, and having that experience in the league, knowing what you have to bring into the coach and knowing how you have to play night in, night out, it makes a difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you talk to... Every year, you can prepare a coach from coming over from the East Coast League or from some other league. I'm telling you, you can talk till you're blue in the face about how big the league is. They don't get it. They just don't get, like, I mean, look around the league. There's coaches every year that don't get it, right? And the more you think about it, you're like, you know what? You're better off hiring someone that knows the league and knows. And not that it's all about the league, but there's two big keys here. Like what I always think is, your Brits are the key to your team. They really are. And you know, your Brits don't want to, we don't want to tell your Brits that, but it's a lot harder to find Brits than it is to find imports. You could fill the SSC arena with people that want to play in Belfast. You really could. But finding six good Brits or five good Brits, whatever you're having right now, it's hard. And that's the key. And I think, you know, I got to be honest with you, Thorts was the one that really kind of figured it out years and years ago. Like I remember when every team, you know, like especially in Belfast, we were always getting so amped up to sign our imports every year. And when he took over as coach, he's like, what are we doing? Like, we can never get good Brits here. Let's just go after Brits. And you remember he flew over, signed Davy Phillips under everyone's nose when he was like 19 years old, pissed off Coventry who'd been like, you know, Paul Thompson had him at GB camp when he was 19, ready for Davey to sign there. And Thorts went in and signed him. And you know, that's something that you kind of learn as you go. You learn every year, but that was a big learning thing for us, how important the Brits were, you know?
I think Todd, just from memory as well, you, I don't know whether it was Thorts or whether it was somebody prior to that, took a flight over the peaks that bring, you know, Craig Peacock from Peterborough, was it?
Yeah.
He was
playing. Yeah, he was Peterborough. Yeah.
He was playing in Peterborough, and we went to Bracknell. We flew to Bracknell actually to watch him in a cup game, a midweek game in Bracknell. The quality wasn't that strong. I gotta be honest with you, but Peaks stood out and he looked phenomenal. And it's funny because Peaks was here. He just played his 700th game a few weeks ago. And did you realize that Craig Peacock played his 700th game in the league? Crazy. Yeah, he's wild. 34 now. But anyway, so he was playing us in Cardiff, maybe in, I think it was probably game 703, and I bought him a bottle of whiskey, and I left it in his room for him with a card, and I just said, I think me and Thort's flying over to watch you play in Bracknell was one of the smartest decisions we ever made. You know, I was there for game one. I'm glad I was here for game 703. And then he called me after, and we laughed. We told stories about the Giants, the glory days, and all the funny stuff that we went through. But he's one of the best guys that we ever signed. One of the smartest signings we ever made, that's for sure.
Talking of smart signings that we made in Belfast, I've just had a text from Simone Cuisine, formerly of AVFPB, to say that Dundee agent Jeff Mason has just beat Dundee, yep, or beat Sheffield in Sheffield by 2-1.
2-1.
I stopped watching the games because that's my priority. I came on this show. I was watching that whole game, and they were up 2-1 with like 8 minutes left, and I had to turn it off to get on here.
Thanks.
Well, they managed to put it through. So, Todd, you know, I see you now and again. I'm still not over you. I can't even look at you, really. I'm looking away.
He means it as well.
Davey comes to my rink. And last time, he didn't even talk to me. You didn't even talk to me last time.
I don't like to interrupt you because you're a very busy man. You've always
got on the mic. You'll still take your freebies, though.
Yeah, you'll still take your free ticket. Hey? You don't want to check me in.
I'm not like that anymore. I deal with somebody else in Cardiff now. But like, how is that? No, I'll go back to the Scaldy. Was that the first coach you had to fire? And during the season,
I mean,
Wes, you're having a Wes, didn't you?
Don't bring up Wes. We're finally friends again.
Well, you did.
Get him on right now.
This is your life, Todd. You know, we'll be listening.
Here he is. You haven't seen him.
No, do you know what? So Wes, part of the deal with buying the Devils from Paul Reagan was that nobody was under contract, right? Nobody was under contract, and the coach wasn't under contract. And I'll be quite honest, we told Paul Reagan, like, if we can't afford, with the contract you've given Dave Whistle, we either have an expensive coach and a shitty budget for the team, or we have a better budget. Yeah, sorry, beep that out. Or we have a better budget for the team, and we have a player coach. And that first year, Lordo didn't take any more money to be the player coach. He took exactly what he signed for as a player. And that's how we made it work, to be honest with you. And yeah, I had to call Wiss. I called Wiss, and the first conversation, it was awful because he's like, oh, I can't wait to work together again and stuff. And then I was like, I got to stop you there, Wiss. We're going to, you know, we didn't know you're under contract. We got to make a change. And it sucked. And you know what? It wasn't until this year when he came back to Nottingham that we've talked again. And in fair play to him, like he called me just out of the blue. He called me one night when he was in Nottingham, and he just said, unknown number, and it just said, he's just like, killer. And instantly I knew his voice. I was like, Wes, and we both killed ourselves laughing. And I just said, I'm so sorry. And I explained my situation. You don't have to explain anything. It's hockey. And we talked and talked for probably 2 hours. And then we met up for a beer when Jackson was over here doing his hockey school. And now I message back and forth. I'm so happy. It was one of the biggest regrets I had in hockey. But it had to be done. It was the right decision, but it's just to do it to a guy that, like, I love and respect so much, and he gave me a job 7 years in a row, you know, but it wouldn't have worked. It wouldn't have worked with him. So I stand by the decision.
And Cardiff so far has been pretty successful for you. Is it everything you could hope for?
I wish the rink was a little bigger, but I wish when they built the rink, they added about another 1,000 seats, but I like Cardiff. I really do.
Empty as well.
What's that?
For those to be empty as well.
Just move on.
Yeah, I know. Okay, we're just averaging the 97% capacity. So, yeah, I guess we do have three seats left for next week. So If you guys
those are for Divi, yeah.
They're for me. Yeah.
No, we honestly just don't have enough seats. We really don't.
Were you not involved in that? Was that a financial thing? Did you want more, or was the club not really that much of a part of it?
They didn't want us to see anything before we moved into the rink. Yeah, it was weird. They didn't let us see anything, and we moved in, and well, you've seen the benches in Cardiff. Whoever designed that should be shot.
Why?
Terrible.
Never seen two rows.
Was that on a basis of like they're going to be grateful because no matter what, we'll give them an upgrade on a tent and a car park?
I honestly think the people that built it just asked one person's opinion. They didn't even ask Franny. Franny was around the rink, and Franny had been here for 30 years and was involved with the team. They never asked his advice. Like, I mean, there's a pole right in the middle of our locker room. They just didn't think it out. The first tour we got on it, the rink was pretty much done. But you didn't know where the locker rooms were. And we did a tour, me and Lordo, and we assumed there was this one big corner room that we thought, okay. And it connected, you could see how it could connect to offices. And we're like, oh, this must be our locker room. That must be our team offices. And then when we moved in, that was the female toilets that get used once a week. Biggest room, biggest open space in the entire rink is the female toilets below block 12. I'll give you a tour there, Davey, when the girls aren't in.
Nice.
But, let's quickly then, you had your little reminiscence. Sorry, Joel, I'll come to you.
You had your little reminiscence
about Wisp. When you talk about somebody like Franny, how important is it to have that rock within an organization that's just been there? Like, Franny's a great guy, but he's just been there forever. He gets Cardiff. Just the way like you used to talk and Robert talks about people who get Belfast, Franny just gets Cardiff.
Well, I always joke whenever we need a message to the fans, like that, like someone they trust, you just roll out Franny because they love him here. And he's a safe pair of hands. Everyone likes him. Everyone trusts him. He's always kind of done the right thing. We never ever considered getting rid of him. I never would. There were some years like when he moved off the bench and he'll do anything for the team. He went from being the assistant coach to hauling carpet and setting up and, you know, shaking hands with sponsors and
working on the shop.
Yeah. Oh, doing everything. He's done everything. And so I'm happy he's back on the bench last year and this year. And, but he's such a good guy. He is such a key to this organization. I don't think anyone not in the organization would understand it as much as, you know, we rely on him for everything. So, and he's a huge part of recruiting too. So.
We done, David? We done here? Or,
I'll talk to him Friday night. It's all right.
Let's talk about Belfast. You know what? I wrote a nice article in the program. Not that anyone ever reads the program anymore, but Davey, you'll love it because I talk about this week about, first of all, I wrote a nice article. I put together a nice article. I didn't write it. I think his dad did, about Dahi, because Dahi's coming over. We're going to be promoting the organ donation thing and then Dahi's law and all that, which is phenomenal. And I love what him and Kiefer do together. It's awesome. It's typical Kiefer though. Like, you know, everyone thinks he's a hard ass. He's just the biggest softie in the world. One of the things that I love about that guy, but yeah, so he's coming over and then I wrote an article about how much I love the Belfast Giants. So my fans are gonna be pissed off, but I basically talked about how much I love the Belfast Giants. I hate you when I play you, and I want to kill you guys on Friday night, but you know, I'm going to always love the Belfast Giants. Some of my best friends, all of you guys are such a big part of my life and were for so many years. I will always have a soft spot for the Belfast Giants. Always.
Yeah. Like I know we call you Tim Coleman and call you a Bracknell legend, whatever else, but I always smile like an idiot whenever I see you. Like we go few and far between. There's some months pass and then I'll be walking through Cathedral Quarter on a doubleheader weekend and you'll be there obviously holding a water, you know, talking to the fans, working hard. But it's always really good to see you. I actually want to talk about the Devils briefly, Todd. You are gearing up to host the Continental Cup at Ice Arena Wales this year in November. I think from the outset, I think that you've had a complete lucky stroke by that Kazakhstan team pulling out. I'm not even going to try and pronounce their name, but obviously they would, you know, that as a country would be there or thereabouts in terms of Continental Cup contenders. What are your ambitions for hosting it? Obviously, it's going to be a massive deal for the facility, for the organization to host so many games, and it's going to be massive operationally. But you're bound to have your eye on cruising through that.
Yeah, we hopefully we can get through that and host the final. Actually, it's, you know, it's funny, your buddy Glover. I messaged Glover when we got to host, and I was like, "Hey, James, can you give me a hand with this? We've hosted the CHL, but we've never hosted like a tournament like this."
Yeah.
And he came back and he's like, he said, "I don't really know much about that tournament. We're in the big one. We're in the game."
Yes, Glover, my guy.
So he got the chirp in, and I had literally no response. I was lost for words. I had nothing I could say. So,
but you're facing Zamgil, Angers, the Ducks from France, and yeah. Jezanis, HDD Jezanis, 18th to 20th of November. All right. Yeah. But obviously that's going to be a massive week for the organization, just in terms of putting that many games on. And it's always, even, you know, hosting is fun, whatever else. I personally like to go away. Do you know what? This week, as Patrick Smith pointed out, was the 10-year anniversary of the trip to Landshut for the Giants Continental Cup campaign in 2011-12.
I wasn't there.
I was there physically.
I don't remember being there. I don't remember.
But still remains my favorite trip of all time. But you must be looking forward to that, just the spectacle that it'll be.
Yeah, it should be fun. Like you, I always like to go away in Europe, but the Continental Cup's not like the CHL. Like, the CHL's fun trips to go on. Continental Cup, if you're going away, it's kind of like a cost center. Whereas if you can host it, you don't lose those weekends. Like, to be honest with you, playing in the Continental Cup is tough because you lose an extra 2 weekends if you make the final round, right? So, and you got to plan to make the final round. And in a year like this, you lose 2 weekends, and then we're having an international break, so we lose another weekend. So that's why, if you look at our schedule, we're playing the Giants on Friday, and then we're away to Scotland Saturday, Sunday. So terrible schedule, but you have to do it at some point because there's fewer weeks this year. So,
and last one for me, I can't get a measure of the Cardiff Devils yet this year. Can you explain to me how you can drop so many games in the cup and be cruising in the league? It's the same squad playing the same teams. What's going on?
Honestly, I'm telling you, respect to Guildford and the Coventry Blazers here. Just watch out for them. Yeah. I mean, you guys already got stung by Guildford. They're a good, both of them are really good. Coventry, yeah. I know you guys crushed them on 7-0. I was shocked at that, but you guys played really well. I watched both games, and I mean, that Kieran Long goal in the second game just, you know, got you back into it. But like,
correct,
they're good, man. They're good, and Guildford are, I think, a much better team. I don't know what he's doing down there. Paul Dixon, all the time, he pulls these teams out, and everyone thinks, oh, who are these guys? And they play so hard and they play so well. They're such a quick transition team. Sometimes
guys who can skate. That's it. It's speed.
Yeah, it's speed. And we hate playing Guildford. Just hate. Like,
only another six or seven to go.
Someone's gonna score 6 or 7 goals. I hope it's us, but sometimes it's not. And that's just it's always been like that with us. So they're always good. And it's funny because everyone thinks Guildford's like, but look at the last, what have they been in, like 3 of the last 4 playoff finals? Yep. Like playoff
final 4. We had a Challenge Cup final against them in your building.
It's
Before we've got a few questions that come in from people. You've answered the one to Blair Riley already, so I'll leave that one off. And before I do actually give that, you mentioned the Continental Cup there, and you know, it's a great weekend for you. Did you watch the games that Belfast play against Davos and think, well, you know, I beat them?
I did. I texted Thorts before the game and I said, don't ever forget, we beat these guys. Because remember, me and Thorts were on the team. And I don't like Davos because when they came to our rink, they were so cocky. Like, because we played them in our first year in the Champions League, we went there and got absolutely like crushed. I think we lost like 10-1. And then we played them here, and their coach, who'd been there for 25 years, through like a translator, asked if we were professional or if like our players had other jobs. And meanwhile, Matthew Myers is there in the building truck right outside. But I said, no, it's fully, it's fully professional. It's fully professional. And I was like, we play, like, you've played this league before. And he's like, no, we've never played anyone from this league. And I'm like, you played the Belfast Giants in 2002 or in 2003 in the Continental Cup, and we beat you in Lugano. And he's like, that never happened. And then his daughter or someone that was like his PA or something corrected and said, yep, they beat you. And I was like, we beat you. And I was like, see ya.
And then we dropped the mic and walked off.
And then we beat him in overtime that night. So
there you go. Did you just give him a thumbs up and say we did it again?
Yeah. Then he got fired a couple weeks ago. After 25 years, he got fired a couple weeks ago later.
You have to see that. That's tough.
Yeah.
Tough look.
Let's go to a couple of questions that have come in on Twitter. Chris Revel, a good friend, Chris Revel. You had 14 years in Belfast as a player and a GM. What do you miss most about our great city?
My wife is wondering why I'm talking. I probably woke her and the kids up. Hold on.
Good work.
Sean, I'm doing a podcast.
Clip that.
You're watching A View from the Bridge.
I've missed you, killer.
What do I miss? I know. What do I miss most about Belfast? Besides the people, like I miss
winning leagues, probably.
Winning leagues? Just the two since I've been here, I guess.
Mm. Nice.
That all?
And the three playoffs. But I really miss like the pub scene, like the live music at pubs. I miss it's a good city to go for like a weekend, like the, you know, being in the city center, like that whole cathedral quarter and all that. I really miss that. I miss Zen, my favorite restaurant of all time.
Great spot.
I generally miss the people. I miss like all our friends that we had, and you know, I'd been there so long. I had friends besides hockey friends, which was nice, you know, which you don't usually always have. But it's such a good crew. You know what I really miss? The rink staff. Like such a good group of people. Like, just like total pros. You know, Claire, Adrian, Sharon. They're just awesome people. And you know, we became such good friends over the years. I miss all those people and all the people we worked with, and like, you know, Brooksy, obviously I talk to Brooksy all the time. I was over for Jim Gillespie's funeral actually, and caught up with Brooksy. So, I miss all that. You know, it feels like coming home every time I come there. So
I think that was going to be one of our next questions, and that Jim brought it up. Obviously we have seen the sad passing of Jim Gillespie in the last few, well, a couple of months ago, and the funeral that took place there a few weeks ago, you know, we've spoken to Robert about it, and we've spoken to a few people who've encountered. But from your own perspective, you know, what did Jim Gillespie mean to yourself when you were running the Belfast Giants?
Yeah, I don't think any of us would be sitting here talking about the Belfast Giants or the Cardiff Devils, maybe not the league, if Jim Gillespie wasn't around. Honestly, like every kid that's played hockey as a junior Giant in the last few years, every player that was lucky enough to play for the Giants for the last 20 years, none of us would have these stories or these memories without Jim, because he kept it alive before, you know, obviously, like, let's be honest, like having the Odyssey Trust involved as owners is a game changer. You become part of this huge, you know, machine, you're vital to the building. Whereas for years, we felt like we were treated like not important to the building, but Jim was there to buck up and kept it there for years and years before the Odyssey Trust did. And I mean, I don't think anyone can compare the two, because it was different ownerships. Like the Odyssey Trust has taken it to a new level. It's like an NHL team, to be honest with you, with the setup and the way they've, you know, the arena is now basically a home of the Giants, where for years it was the Giants showed up and played a game there, you know? Mm-hmm. But I mean, there were years where Jim was putting a lot of his own money to keep this team going, for basically because of what he believed in. And I think the ethos of the Giants came from that guy down through us, and it was such an important thing to him. There's funny stories about him too. Like I had a very different relationship with him than a lot of people, because you know, there was calls I had to make where I said, "Hey Jim, we're out of money." Those calls sucked. But I remember telling him one time, we finally were on the brink of making money. Like we were about to make money, and it was Doug Christensen's year. And do you remember we had like Brock McBride quit that year? He went to Austria. Benoit Doucette got hurt. He was like our top player.
He got squished by referees. Yeah, blew his knee.
By Dalton, I think. And that year we got near the end, and we were gonna make, like, we were right on the brink of making money. And then someone else got hurt. I can't remember who got hurt, but anyways, and so I said to Jim, and I was like, "Listen, I think we can either make money, or we can lose about 40 grand, because I got to bring two guys in." and I'm going to bring in Paul Dennisett, and I'm going to bring in Hoffman. I'm going to remember they both had been, did come back the next year. And so, and he's like, you know what to do. You'll make the right decision. Right? He said, you'll make the right decision. And then when we won the league and we were on the ice, and I was like, you know, when you told me that, I didn't know what I was going to do. He goes, I didn't know what you were going to do either.
Here, you brought Aaron Clark in towards the end of the season as well. You spent more than that.
Aaron Clark was, Aaron, do you remember? And then we brought Aaron Clark in, like, he was kind of early, I think, when McBride quit. And then Aaron Clark took a swing at the ref's head. Do you remember?
Carson
in Sheffield.
Sheffield.
Yeah.
Carson in Sheffield.
10-game ban or a 12-game ban or something like that.
Wild.
That was
I saw him playing for the K-Wings on the same team as Corey Carlander a couple of years later. Couldn't believe it in Orlando.
And do you remember that year? And like, we had two Brits lead our team in scoring. Robert Dowd and Craig Peacock tied for the lead.
Yep.
And Doug Christensen always said, he goes, when McBride quit, he goes, this is going to be our Sistine Chapel. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, this is like, nothing more could go wrong. If we do this, this is the greatest thing a college we could ever. We just lost the best player we've probably ever had in Brock McBride. He quit. He got a concussion, sat out 3 weeks. Then he quit right after we paid him, like, bought him new skates, everything. So every time I put in a contract that you have to buy yourself out of a contract, it's called the Brock McBride clause in my head.
That's amazing. Love that.
Because we had a 2-week clause and he used it and he left. Everything went wrong. Benoit Doucette broke.
He was good, Mitt. He was a good player.
McBride. Yeah, he was the best thing I've ever seen. He was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Scored for fun.
But it was a different league back then. Like it was three line hockey. Like things are so different now. You know, the hockey's so much better now. It really is. And it's not a knock against, but you know, some of the guys we had back then that I think probably look back in this league and think, God, it wasn't, you know, it was kind of a shit show sometimes. And it was but like the league now is so professional and so good. Like the league is so good now, you know?
Yeah.
Four-line hockey. It's on a different level now, you know? And I think that's part of it is having more teams competitive, and like gone are the days where you just assume you're going to win, right? You just assume you're going to win the games. Like it used to be like you go to Edinburgh and you'd play the first game, then you'd all go out that night. So you'd win 9-1 the first night, and then you'd only win 4-2 the next night, right? Because you'd all gone out the night, which is totally unprofessional, but everyone did it. That's why everyone wanted a doubleheader in Edinburgh, you know? But
Killer, a question that we get often is about the setup in the Challenge Cup. So with a bit of your league hat on, a bit of your Cardiff Devil hats on, it's not ideal. For sure, like the Belfast Giants are finished. Our group's now finished, and we're waiting to the end of actually next month before all the games are finished in the other groups. There has to be something better done with this competition, surely. Well,
I think the big change that you guys got to do in Belfast, you got to lose like your first two or three. That's what we like to do here in Cardiff. We like to really go.
Just keep like we drew it up, boys.
This is all
just
about like this is like bringing the crowds in for the final game.
Just so we guarantee
full commercial.
Yeah, it's all commercial for us. We really want that game on the 29th to be sold out. no, I totally agree. Like, I think you'd be better off adding. It's hard. It's a numbers thing, right? Like, I think you'd be better off adding one more league game or two more league games and counting the first couple league games as just your Challenge Cup games. Because look at the games. Like when let's say Coventry played Guildford midweek, like the other week, right? And there's like 900 people there, you know, like no one wants to play those games. Right. And the Challenge Cup, like, I guess the big thing for us, and I think Belfast do the same thing. We've just added it to our season ticket. So a lot of like the casual fan doesn't know, but it's our season ticket holders. So we'll have season ticket holders that don't show up, even though it's part of their season ticket. But I think the biggest thing is it's too many games to eliminate two teams. Whereas if you did your first round of games, like if we just said, okay, there's 10 teams in the league. So, and you do it almost like premiership, like week one, you're playing this many games. And then you say week one and two are identified as also your first round of Challenge Cup games. And that's how you do it. And they count towards the standing. I'm not a fan of the standalone cup games. I'm not. And I like once you get to the quarters and stuff, but I mean, we play, what is it? 8 games against Coventry and Guildford on top of all the other games. So it's ridiculous. And you always get excited at the beginning of the year. Like you're like, oh, like when people are probably like, oh, they beat, oh God, Belfast or sorry, Cardiff are 0-4. Well, we weren't 0-4, you know? And so like, you actually want those games to count, because every team would love us to be 0-4 against Guildford in Coventry, but they don't matter. You know, they matter if we don't qualify for the next round, which is a scary possibility actually this year. But yeah, like I agree. Like that probably needs to change, but it's that number of nine, right? Like, so what some leagues would do is they would say, all right, so we can't do two more games against each other, but we could do one. But then how do you decide who you play home and who you play away? So
yeah.
Am I going to Belfast or is Belfast coming here? Like, and all you have to do is you have to make a commitment over 2 years to make it,
yeah,
you know, because other leagues do that. It's like, not like the NHL.
Like Six Nations.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But the problem is when the league's the biggest thing, everyone's like, well, I don't want that. I don't want to have to travel to Belfast. Or people are like, oh, I'm going to panic because I have another trip to Belfast. But I mean, then the next year you don't have another trip to Belfast. I'm totally in agreement of you. And we also should scrap the third and fourth place game. I hate to say it. Third and fourth place game. That pays your summer holiday, David.
It's a great day for the overs. Great day for the overs.
The most important game of the season. So just you back up there.
Paddy, we got a wrap. We're already on 1:15.
Todd, listen, we really appreciate you coming on. We could sit here and talk, doing a whole podcast. We haven't even touched on certain aspects of, you know, like league wise. We haven't talked about, you know, loads and loads of stuff, but we could sit here and talk to you for ages. Before I do let you go, we do have a message in from Aaron Murphy, who says, ask Killer, is he buying the beers for Sheds and I on Friday? That's,
I don't think Sheds and Murphy have ever bought a beer after a game ever.
Davey taught them.
The big game, obviously, this Friday.
Davey,
on that,
you know what you should do, Davey? You should get a hotel room and go out after on Friday. I've already said to Sheds, no matter what happens, we're going out on Friday night.
Let's not ruin it. I promised Murph and Sheds I would bring nice coffee with me, so order up. I'll give you a text on Wednesday or Friday afternoon. Tell me where to go. I'll bring you a nice coffee.
Oh, okay. You're all hurt.
You can't ask for that. And for that, he just wants a free ticket. Just saying, that's probably what he's asking.
I'll buy you a £1.50 coffee, Todd, and you give me a £21 ticket. That's free coffee. Davey gets free tickets forever. It doesn't matter. He's media. You guys are media.
No, not just that, Todd. Davey's on Elite Prospects as the analyst of the Belfast Giants. You gotta. You know, he's part of the
team. Is he really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you bump
the Got a wee Ulster flag and all. It's brilliant.
I thought Hammy was still the.
Oh,
old Hammy.
Hammy left like 10 years ago.
What year is this?
I know. That was my joke.
Listen, Todd. Listen, we really appreciate your time, we don't wish you any luck on Friday. But
Ross sent this.
Look how young he looks there.
That was the playoffs last year. That was the playoffs last year, pal.
good evening, Ross. No doubt watching.
Really, there it was.
Right, so listen,
I'll leave it to you.
Come on next week, sure.
All right.
Thanks, mate. Take care.
All right, guys. Good seeing you.
See you.
I know we didn't come here. Sorry.
Big thanks to Todd Kelman for joining us. The great thing about interviewing Todd, and I said this to Joanna before I came up, it says that Todd Kelman's coming on, and she always said the same thing. She remembers the same thing I said with Todd. It's the same thing as Doug Christensen. You basically take a microphone and you say, so, and you get like a 20 minute interview. Brilliant. Thanks, Todd. Fantastic to have him back on the show, and hopefully we'll get him again soon. 1:17. Joel, let's rake through a few of these news aspects.
News this week is scores and DOPS, really. So, I mean, if we want to wrap it now, go on the Elite League website.
No, actually, there's just one. Like, give us a couple of things, because there's a couple of things I want to just touch on.
Okay, well, you want to talk scores for the past week?
Go, just quickly, yeah.
Okay, Premier Sports Elite League action. Dundee Stars got their weekend off to a winning start at the DIA, beating the Panthers 4-2 in the only game of the night on Friday. On Saturday, the Clan lost again, falling 4-2 at home to the Guildford Flames. Sheffield Steelers took a 5-2 win home from Cardiff, and the Stars made it a four-pointer with a 4-2 win over the Fife Flyers in Kirkcaldy. Jeff Mason's team is a wagon. And on Sunday, the Steelers poured more misery onto Todd Doodham's side, hammering them 6-0 in Sheffield. There were two games on tonight between the Clan and the Panthers. And
Clan can't buy a win.
Did they lose again?
They lost on penalty shots.
Ah, that's tough. I saw they went 2-1 up and then 2-2. The Steelers on Stars, where Jeff Mason's Dundee Stars have once again won, sounds like. And in the Challenge Cup group stage, as we were talking about there, yep, the Challenge Cup group stage is still happening, boys. Panthers bettered the Storm 4-1 at home on Saturday and repeated the act on Sunday at the Drizzle Dome with a 3-2 shutout win. And Todd Kelman's Cardiff Devils travelled to the Spectrum, where they beat the Guildford Flames 7-4, registering just their third cup win in 7 games. Make it make sense. As it stands, only the Giants, Flyers and Stars have officially qualified for the knockout round with 4 games in the group stage remaining. Favourite thing this past week, we got crazy goalies. We got crazy goalies in the league this year. Let's talk about Alex Dubois catching a 5-game suspension by Dobbs. Don't know if you've seen this. I think you've got the video, Patrick.
I do. I've got the Dobbs video, which I shall share with you.
Superb. So he has been, Nottingham Panthers goalie Alex Dubois has been suspended for 5 games for abuse of an official after last Friday's loss in Dundee. Dobbs says Stars forward Elijah Barija puts the puck in the net with the referee signaling a goal. Dubois on his knees at that point looks back at the goal net. You'll see it play in just a couple of seconds. Do you know what?
Let's keep it going. Obviously, we got issues here because remember, this is an audio podcast as well, Joel.
Don't worry about it. Gets to his feet, skates in the direction of the referee, and forcefully throws a stick against the glass in his vicinity. Dubois then skates towards the referee, who has started skating away from the situation and starts a verbal confrontation with the referee, which quickly escalates into Dubois using two hands to push the referee in the back. This is physical abuse of officials. This is my favorite Nottingham Panthers assault since Joe Grimaldi took his helmet off and whipped it at somebody. That was a good time as well. Love a crazy goalie. Alex Dubois has clearly grown up watching like Ron Hextall, Patrick Waugh, and all those spicy boys. What do we think of 5 games for this? I mean, he didn't Muller him, but he puts his hands on.
You can't do it. You can't do it. We mentioned Aaron Clark earlier in the show, and I remember at the time going, "Oh well, you know, he didn't hit the referee; he hit near the referee, and he got a massive suspension for that. Like he had 10 games or whatever. He just can't do it." But because he's a Nottingham Panther, I'm just disappointed he didn't get 10 games, David.
I think there has to be a line drawn, a very physical. You cannot put your hands on it. How hard do you have to hit the referee then to get a 5-game ban? You know, think if you touch the ref at all, you've got to be censured. You just cannot be hitting officials. We were put on a 5-on-3 on Sunday night for Sam Roop, obviously saying something that offended Matty Rose. You know, he's gone into the corner to play the puck. Matt Rose is slightly in the way, but referees, part of furniture, as they often say. Rupper's had to go round him. He's played the puck out, and he's obviously said something straight away. 2 minutes, you know. So there's a very firm line as to, you know, some refs will be a wee bit more thick skinned about that. Some will be thin skinned. You'll know the boys should know which refs you can speak to, which refs you can't. Unfortunately, but in terms of putting your hands on a referee, it's just a straightforward no. That sends out quite a strong message, because if he had hit him firmer, perhaps you're looking at 10 games. Put your hands on a referee at all. And that's all he did. He gave him the gentlest of touches. A gentlest of touch on an official is now a 5-game ban. People need to know that.
Yep. Precedent fully setter.
Agree.
Sticking with the Nottingham Panthers, forward Tanner Sorensen was assessed a major and game misconduct for an illegal check to the head of Manchester Storm forward Jesper Orville on Sunday night in Altrincham. Dobbs says, Storm recycling the puck in the offensive zone. Orville receives a pass, collecting the puck at the hash marks, with Sorensen closing in on a defensive play. Seeing Sorensen, Orville passes the puck to his teammate, after which Sorensen initiates a high hit, making the head the main point of contact on a hit where such head contact was avoidable. This is an illegal check to the head, and Sorensen is fined and suspended for 1 game. As far as I know, he served that suspension tonight, and the Panthers have got away with that penalty shot win against the Glasgow Clan. Find on the 1 game, and he's back for that. But these are the ones that you sort of see make up the bulk of sort of Dobbs' decisions in an era where that kind of high contact is a big no-no. It's a tough hit. Don't like seeing those, regardless of who it is.
It's an open and shut case, that.
Yeah.
I think just looking at that. Yeah.
What did he get?
He got he was assessed major in game misconduct, so fined and suspended for 1 game, which he served tonight. You would have given him more? It actually looks one of the worst ones I've seen, to be honest.
It seems to be a bit of a shoulder.
Lucky enough, there's responsibility on both parties there. There's responsibility on the player not to be doing that, and there's responsibility on the player that's hitting them not to hit that. You know, there's no such thing as a clean hit to the head.
Yeah,
I agree. Is he going shoulder to shoulder and height difference? There's a whole lot of factors there to come in, but he's done okay to only get one game out of that, you know.
And if you've nothing else to add, chaps, finally, in Glasgow, Dyson Stevenson has been fined for a late illegal check on Flames forward Ryan Tate in the game versus Guildford on Saturday night. No video of this one, but Dopp says the intent of a body check is to separate the puck from the player and not to separate the player from the game, like that line, as was the outcome of this illegal hit. That's all your Dopps. Dopps are back in business. And finally, from me, your Premier Sports game of the week, as you heard earlier, is the Belfast Giants trip to Cardiff this Friday night at 7 p.m. Tune in to Murph and Sheds, who will by that stage have had the good coffee from Davey on Premier Sports 2. And don't miss any of the action.
Absolutely. One of those, just a couple of things before we move on as well. New goalkeeper in Clan, John Muse, has stepped in, and I know he was interviewed today by Craig Anderson, and they've got a new goalkeeper up there. And also, if you have a chance to see Critchlow's 5+ game for a check from behind against the Nottingham Panthers that was assessed, go have a look at that.
When was that?
That was on Saturday. Well, no, don't get me wrong. It wasn't a check from behind. It was he was tossing a 1-1 game for a check from behind. It wasn't from behind. I'll send you it on WhatsApp. It was
excellent,
interesting. Anyway, thanks, Joe. As we said, the two games for the Belfast Giants this weekend are both away from home. Cardiff Devils versus Belfast Giants on Friday at 7:30 p.m. at the Kyle Baum Arena. Get that on Premier Sports with Sheds and with Aaron Murphy, of course, on Premier Sports 2. And then the Guildford Flames away at the Spectrum for the first time this season. Guildford, of course, as I said, are the only team domestically to take any points off the Belfast Giants. 6 p.m. on Saturday at the Spectrum. And guess what? You can get that on a webcast.
What a world we live in.
So you can get that from Flames TV. There's a live webcast. Any other business, boys?
No, shout out to OSC for the golf event, which I'm told was excellent. Those guys do such hard work and do such a great job for connecting the fans to the team. I got texts from people in my football circles who had noticed it and said that you know, there's lessons to be learned from what the OSC does for the fan base in Belfast. So it's being noticed, and well done to all of you.
You're here. Mr. McGimsey.
Just the golden oldies, if you just give it a wee retweet, give it a wee share out there to try and get a few more people interested in it. The take-up has been good from the usual suspects, but I'd love to, if you can afford 10p a goal, 5p a goal, whatever, something that adds up to 10 or 5 over the course of the season. I know times are tough, but just want to try and put some, share a bit of happiness out there for some of our older generation that need a little bit of help. So if you can spare any pennies.
You follow at Davey _McG, and also, of course, on A View from the Bridge, we retweet and all that sort of stuff out for the golden oldies. Fantastic as well. Fancy drive for that. If that's it, gentlemen, then we'll wrap things up.
That's probably about it, Paddy.
I think we probably hit it. Big thanks, of course, to Colby McCauley and to Bracknell Bees legend Todd Kellerman. Those games, Cardiff Devils versus Belfast Giants, Friday, 7:30 p.m. at the Baum Arena. Is it Baum Arena there? Unless Jeff Baum's dad's son, Jeff Baum, is going to step up, we could change it to the Jeff Baum Arena. But the Kyle Baum Arena, you can get that on Premier Sports 2 this weekend, or this Friday at 7:30. And then the Belfast Giants away to the Guildford Flames on Saturday at 6 p.m. at the Spectrum. Get that on Flames TV. You can get us at AVFTB on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. I did a TikTok today. TikTok.
Ooh, TikTok.
Go watch it. I did it at the gym.
Nice. Looking forward to that one.
Get it on Instagram. What else? KingdomOfTheGiants.com, of course. Send us an email, podcast@KingdomOfTheGiants. Mr. McGimsey and Mr. Neil, I shall see you next Tuesday. We'll be back to Tuesday next week. Big week next week, Davey. 20 years.
20 years from the 26th of October, 2002. Never forget.
I'm sure we might mention that.
It'll come up.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
See ya.
Sports Social Podcast Network.